Hi, this is Laurie, and welcome to Shamanic Works. It is the 21st of February, a Wednesday, and welcome. I'm so glad that you could join me. Today we're going to be looking at, exploring, and putting together a toolkit for altering reality, the reality that you're experiencing in your own vicinity in the universe, and that would be a shaman's toolkit, but all of us are shamans and gatherers of power, human beings who live fully, I'm trusting. And so this is for you if there's anything in your life that you would like to alter. Won't happen overnight. It's not going to be a flashbang sort of experience. Anyone who does shamanic work and tells you that's the way it's going to be is probably selling something. But if you keep with this toolkit, it will profoundly alter who you're being in the world and alter who the world is being in response to you. And with some conscious input as well. So it's not just sort of, well, I'll just change who I am and see what happens. Yes, indeed, we'll do that. But with some intent and some shape to what it is that you would like your life to be full of. So we'll be doing that. But before we do, as usual, as always, we're going to open for ourselves a sacred space in which to have this conversation. So we'll be inviting spirit to come in and to have the conversation with us. As always, as shamanic practitioners, that's what we do. So if you're in a place where you can face east, that would be the direction the sun comes up. And if you don't know where east is and have no way of finding out at this moment in time, just declare a direction, magical east, and it will be east for you for the duration of this conversation. If you're in a place where you can turn in that direction, please do. And if not, just send your attention towards the east and we'll begin. Spirits of the East, you who are the nurturers and midwives and carers of new beginnings, who invite us to take a deep breath before we leap off the cliff, the unknown. Join us now in this conversation. Teach us to care for the new and the uncertain in ourselves. Lean into us here and make your wisdom. And now turn yourself a quarter of a turn to the right so that you're facing south, or send your attention to the south. Spirits of the South, you who carry and are the flame of passion at the heart of ourselves, at the heart of our being, at the heart of all things, teach us to live that flame, to let it warm us, fuel us without consuming us. Be present with us here. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And now turn a quarter turn further to your right so that you're facing west. Spirits of the West, you who teach us to be impeccable warriors, to release that which no longer serves us, so that we may welcome that which does, to travel light, and to have no need of enemies in this life or in any other. Be present with us here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And turn another quarter turn so that you're facing north. Spirits of the North, ancestors, 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 you who have gone beyond death and returned to stand at our weak side and to have our backs, you who are the ancestors of our DNA, of our physical bodies, you who are the ancestors of our spiritual lineages, and you who are the ancestors of life here on Earth, the plants and the bacteria and the fungi, you who are our underpinning and our cradle. Be present with us here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And now, reach up or send your attention upwards. Spirits of above, Papa Sol, the Sun, Grandmother Moon, Star Nations, you of whose dust we are formed, you who are the source of our energy and our light, shine your light upon us that we may see our path clearly before our feet. Be present with us here. Make your wisdom known. And now, if you can, reach down and touch the earth beneath you in her guise as carpet or floor or actual earth. Earth, my mother. Earth, my mother. Earth, my mother. You cradle us as always. Teach us to walk with grace upon your skin, to dance and joy upon your belly. Be present with us here. Teach us to treat with dignity and care and tenderness every one of our relations, your children. Lean into us. Make your And now welcome to this sacred space that you and I have created together around each one of us. So before we go on and talk about this Shaman's Toolkit, if you were with me for the last show, we did some exploratory journeys to Lower World, and there is its analogous place above us where the Ascended Masters live and can be found. And so if you wished, you could go back in the archives to last show and use that format for journeying to make some journeys to Upper World, to have a look, and then to go and to meet a teacher who has something for you and something to say to you. So I would encourage you to do that, to just practice on your own. And there are drumming CDs and downloads available to help you, so that you have that horse of a drum to carry you into the shamanic state of consciousness and into the beyond. So that was my parting gift for that particular conversation. And now here we are talking about a toolkit for altering the reality that we live in. And there are six tools in this toolkit. And this is what I have come up with from years of practice and talking with other practitioners and reading and listening and trying things out, and, you know, weekly talks with my sort of buddy shamanic practitioner. This is what we've come up with. So six tools in the toolkit, and they are in order for a reason, really, because they sort of build on one another. So you want to get the first tool mastered really before you add the second one, etc. So the first tool in the shamanic practitioner's toolkit for altering reality is gratitude. And the second one is a thing called witnessing, which is seeing what is there with an innocent mind, without an opinion. So we'll talk about each of these in depth in just a little bit. The third is blessing, which is a use of speech to enlarge access to spirit. The fourth one is will or intention, not in a force way, but in a decided way, in a certain way. The fifth one is what we would call sovereignty or self-referencing, which requires that the shaman or the practitioner or the human being know that you are and that you have a right to be. And there's some ways of approaching that. And, you know, the previous tools will help with that. And the last one is community, which we don't do much of, really, in this Western culture. You may, if you're listening from someplace else, you may have a ready community of common souls around you, you know, hearts that share your desire for the way the world could be. But in industrialized societies, we really have managed to isolate ourselves pretty thoroughly. So we'll talk a little bit about community and how that can come about and what value it is to the shamanic practitioner, to the medicine person, to the person who wishes to alter reality for the better. So you're going to need, I think, something to jot down things on just for your own clarity so that you don't lose track of them. You may not need to write down very much, but if you had a pen and a piece of paper or a post-it note or a napkin or something that you can write on, that might help you. And then, you know, an undisturbed little while would be good. So, first tool is gratitude. And I remember a friend of mine describing herself as, "I'm becoming a woman with a heart full of gratitude." And then I listened to her describe, as the weeks went on, how the people around her responded in a different way to her as she became that woman with a heart full of gratitude. So gratitude is a massive tool. We don't think much about it until it happens to us really often, where someone thanks us for something and we think, oh, that was like a drink of cool water to a thirsty person. People just don't thank me. I'm not saying that you need to run around thanking people, although you may want to as you begin to look at this tool. You apply it however you wish to. However, the primary thing is gratitude to those entities and beings and systems that give us life as a first thing. And gratitude for simple things, and gratitude expressed. So one of the things I would suggest to you as a way of using this tool and seeing what happens is to, in the morning when you get up, whenever you get a minute to breathe, is to thank the universe, or whoever you speak to in the universe, for three things, three separate, distinct things. And I wouldn't start with the difficult stuff. Start with stuff you're really grateful for. You know, so I, for instance, this morning, so grateful we have birds again. It's spring. It doesn't feel like spring, but the birds know that it's spring, and they're beginning to vie for territory and establish themselves in the backyard, and they're in the bushes. And, you know, this is a small backyard we're talking about, but they're in the trees and around the edges, and they're beginning to make those wonderful sounds, those lively, just, you know, full of life sounds that small birds make. And they hang upside down and they talk to one another. And I'm just so grateful. It lifts my spirit. It makes me happy to see them there. So there's a thing I'm really grateful for. It's temporary, you know, but it's lovely. So that's a thing that I can be grateful for. You know, my body is healthy right now, and I'm so grateful. So, you know, I can say, thank you, body, for being healthy and full of energy. Thank you, universe, that the birds are out singing. I know that that sounds a bit trite. You know, we get told this all the time, but I can guarantee you that beginning to express gratitude whenever it occurs to you is a powerful, powerful tool in reshaping the texture and the color and the depth and richness of the universe around you. It will show up differently. It won't just look different to you. It will actually be different. And people will be different. And different opportunities will show up for you than if you are absent gratitude. There's no gratitude in your life. And it's very easy for that to happen, because life can be grinding, it can be dull, it can be difficult, and we forget that there are things that we can be grateful for and that we are grateful for. So, first tool, gratitude. And at this moment in time, I would love it if you would just pick up that pen. I'm going to just do a little tiny bit of rattling very softly. If you would pick up your pen and write down right now three things that you are grateful for. It doesn't matter what they are, they're going to be profound. You know, just write them down. So here we go. Mm-hmm. okay. I'm trusting that you've got three things written down, and if not, that as this conversation goes on, those things will then, as they occur to you, you will write them down and then put this into practice. And I would actually practice this for really some time, at least a week before you add in the practicing of the next tool. Gratitude is pretty straightforward, but it does require practice. You have to remember to be grateful. You have to remember to say that you're grateful, to the universe. So there you have it, first tool. I challenge you, try that for a week every morning and see what happens in your life. It's worth an experiment, if nothing else. The second tool in the Shaman's Toolkit is a thing called witnessing. And that means that you just see what is. So you look with an innocent mind, with a mind that has released your preconceived notions and your wishes for how things ought to be and your opinions about how things are and how rotten they are or how good they are or how they ought to be some way and maybe they aren't. Just letting all of that go and then looking. And looking down into the heart of things. So if you are in nature, then you are looking into the heart of that tree that's in the back garden, or the birds that fly above you, or the weeds that find their way through the cracks in the pavement, and are such a testament to the fact that the earth is doing what she is doing, and life is doing what it is doing. And we do our best to control it, and we, of course, can't. And it is alive and vibrant all on its own, and full of the light of creation everywhere that we look, whether we approve of it or not, whether we call those plants wild medicinal plants or weeds, doesn't really matter, because what is at their heart is life, joy, the light of creation. And that's what we're looking at. We're just looking at it, not having an opinion, just looking, opening our hearts and allowing that what is there is, that it is exactly as it should be, that the universe is doubtless unfolding as it should, whether or not it seems that way to us. It is certainly unfolding as it is. So that ability to, with compassionate, possibly angelic release of opinion, that ability to look like that is transformative. It will transform you, and it will transform what you are looking at. Now, I would not expect that weed to turn into a rose bush, poof, like that. But it will certainly transform your relationship with it. And so, likewise, if you're able to do that with the people in your life, if you are able to do that with the animals in your life, if you are able to do that with the systems in your life, and with the experiences that you have, and with the news that comes to you, that ability to open-heartedly, innocently allow what is to be what it is a thing that will transform you and will transform your world. So when you've mastered gratitude, I would I'll challenge you to undertake a week of simply allowing what is to be what it is, rather than attempting to wrestle it into some other shape. You'll have to notice yourself doing that, really, in order to implement this tool. And that's half of the implementing of the tool, is the noticing that you may indeed, in some instances, with some things, be wrestling with them and trying to press them into a shape that is more agreeable or less distressing or any of those things. So that is witnessing. And that does involve a degree of surrender to what is, and a degree of trust that the universe is indeed unfolding as it should, whether or not we are able to see it. that you are, in fact, in the perfect place for this moment in your life. And therefore, what is around you can be allowed to be. And I found this one a very tough one. So that's why I'm saying as much as I am about it, because it is challenging, but well worth it. So I would challenge you to a week of gratitude, and then a week of gratitude and witnessing, simply allowing things to be. The third tool in the Shaman's Toolkit is blessing. To be blessed means, at bottom, to be enlarged and expanded in your ability to be alive, in your vitality, and in your access to spirit and to magic in your life. So when you bless something, yourself or someone else, you don't run around saying, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. What you are doing is using language to paint a picture of that being or situation or system or whatever else you may be have in front of you as something expanded in vitality, full of light, full of the joy of creation, and with more access to spirit and to magic. So you may be walking along the road and be able to quietly say in your mind or out loud, tree, I can see. You reach for the sky. I can see that you are doing exactly what you were made to do, that your branches reach skyward, your leaves stretch out like hands open to the sun, and yet your roots bring up moisture from below, and that under the surface you are communicating with that whole community in the soil, that birds nest in you, and I am just so pleased to see you. I see that you are being exactly who you were designed and meant to be. That's a blessing, you know. You may be saying to the birds, may you find the perfect place for your nest, and may your young be healthy and sound and full of light. You may be saying to a situation, may there be light here. May there be compassion here. May there be joy here. May there be community in this group of people. That's a blessing. It's an invocation of all those things, joy and compassion and community. So, blessing. If you can't see what's there, then what you're probably going to be giving is not blessing, but opinion. So in my Christian background, I'm going to say judgment. You're beginning judgment. So I would encourage you to do a week of gratitude, a week of witnessing, seeing what's there, just letting it be, and a week of blessing. Stacking those if you would like, just adding each of those tools to your daily toolkit that you use. The fourth tool in the Shaman's Toolkit is will or intention. And these tools get a little more complicated as we go along, so I may talk a little bit longer about will or intention. We often think of will as being something that, like a child is willful, that's not a good thing. So something that is not desirable. But in fact, we would never, of course, get anything done if we didn't have will, if we did not hold an intention when you set out to create whatever it is that you're creating at work or to clean the house or to do whatever it is that you set out to do. The first thing that distracted you would take you away if you did not have a steady will, a steady intention. And in the transformative work of the shamanic practitioner, of course, having a steady intention is something that is crucial. It's a crucial tool. So it is useful to know what your intention is. If you set out on a shamanic journey, the very first thing that you do is to state to yourself, what is your intention? I am going to lower world in order to meet a teacher. And And there is not just the one time that you say that to yourself. Generally, we say it to ourselves three times at least. I'm going to lower world in order to meet a teacher. I'm going to lower world in order to meet a teacher. So that it begins to focus yourself, your attention, and all of your energies begin to be focused on that intention, on that will for what is going to happen next. So you're not just abandoning yourself to chance and to whatever occurs, but you are in fact shaping it. And so in any transformative work, it is very useful to know what outcome you desire. So this is the point at which we move over from just altering ourselves and seeing what happens, which is really what gratitude and witnessing are about. We are not impacting with those two so much the outside world, the world that is outside of ourselves. But when we get to blessing, you are actually, in a way, stating your intention for whatever it is that you are blessing. So I backed up one, but back to blessing. And oftentimes I would say, don't forget to bless yourself. You may very well want to invoke some things on a nightly basis for yourself and see how that goes in your life. I do things like, may my heart be pure and turn towards spirit. May my wellsprings of creativity be clean and free-flowing. May my eye be filled with luminous intelligence, the kind that illuminates whatever it looks on. May my feet always find my soul's true path. May my body be imbued with radiant health. All those things that state an intention for myself. So I'm invoking the fulfillment of that intention. And part of this intention thing is that we don't just do it once. I didn't just say that blessing for myself one time. What I do is nightly, I say that over myself so that I have blessed myself. And in the mornings, you know, I have other blessings that I use that are not for me. But that one is for me. That is for me blessing myself. And what I have seen is all those things in, you know, a dozen ways beginning to show up more fully, more richly in my life. And you can explain that in any way that you like, but I am explaining it and saying that it focuses my intention. That is a human gift, having intention, having will. And as far as I can tell, we were, you know, given that gift so that we would use it. So I am using that gift of will, of intention, and I am using it in a repetitive fashion. If you read much of the reports that people who studied Native American medicine people, for instance, wrote up or gave to reporters, one of the things that they report is that the preparation for a healing ceremony, the preparation is much longer and more repetitive even than the ceremony is. And the ceremony itself may be quite repetitive. But for instance, you might be required to make 144 medicine bundles, all the while praying to your helping spirits for the healing of this person from this affliction, or for your own healing from the affliction if you're the person who's coming for healing. So 144 times before you actually get to the ceremony, you have prayed while making a little medicine bundle. And usually that's a little piece of cloth with some, could be corn pollen, but it's probably going to be tobacco tied up in it, which then is tied on a string with all the rest of them. So you have a big long string of 144, or however how many you are requested to make, of these medicine bundles. That's repetition that we don't do for anything except work. If we're being paid, we do that kind of repetition. But in industrial societies, we don't really do that very much. But that focuses and brings into reality the thing that you are intending to have occur. So that's one of the reasons, if you were raised in the Christian church, that Jesus tells that parable about the widow who needed help from a judge, and she just would not leave him alone. She kept doorstepping him wherever he went. There was this widow asking for this judgment from this judge. Eventually, he just went, okay, fine, you can have it. Just leave me alone. Now, I don't think Spirit is asking us to leave him alone. However, Jesus was illustrating that when you are praying for something, it takes repetition. It takes more than one go most of the time in order for what you are intending to come through from the spirit side of things into manifesting in this physical reality, in the social reality, in the emotional reality, in the political reality, whatever part of reality it is that you're trying to pull that piece of intention through into, it will take repetition. So one of the ways of expressing intention is by repeatedly doing, saying, whatever it is that you intend to manifest. And this can take many forms, but I have known people who got up in the morning, every morning, for months and months and months on end, and announced to the four directions what it was that they were inviting into their lives. Whatever that was, sufficient housing. You know, I mean, we are really talking things here, real things. A job that nurtures them and allows them to, you know, feed their family. Those sorts of things. And those take time. You can't just say once, well, ask, you know, and I didn't get it. Well, keep asking. Keep saying, this is what I intend. This is my intention. This is my intention. This is who I'm becoming. This is what I'm inviting into my life. This is the shape I wish my life to be in. All those things need to be repeated and repeated and repeated, or Spirit doesn't think you're serious about it. So, you know, it's one of those things where we haven't really caused ourselves to mature in a way that is fully human. Many Native peoples, Indigenous peoples say we aren't born knowing how to be human. We learn that from the environment, from plants and from animals and from rocks and from trees, mostly from plants, and that we learn it by being in relationship with Spirit. So this is one of those ways that we learn it. It is a small child's expression to say, well, I asked for it and I didn't get it, so I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm taking my toys and go home, rather than to say, I'm in a conversation. This is a massive piece of work that I'm doing, so it's going to take time. It's going to take repetition. I'm going to have to be faithful to my own intention and just keep telling Spirit, keep telling myself, and keep telling Spirit. This is what I'm doing. This is what I want. This is what I'm inviting. This is what I'm insisting upon. This is it. This is my intention. So if I have not repeated that enough for you, I can't imagine. But that is that particular tool. Tool number four is intention or will. And that is, you will notice all of these things are essential to being human. This is not something that is specialized for the few. This is for human beings. This works for everybody. It doesn't matter if you believe it works or not. You just have to allow that it might. And then there you go, you're off. So, tool number five is another slightly advanced tool. So I would once again invite you to do a week of gratitude, a week of witnessing, of noticing what is there with an innocent mind, a week of blessing, of speaking into shape, you know, things and beings and situations full of light and full of joy and enlarged in their vitality and with more access to magic and to Spirit. That's what blessing is. I'm going to say that as many times as I can fit it into this program. And then to exercise your will, to hold on to your intention, to know what it is that you are intending, and to stick with it. And then the fifth tool is self-referencing, or we would call it sovereignty. And this is one of those things that arises out of a fundamental law in the universe, which is that human beings get to say who comes into their space, who comes into their body. So we don't want anything that is going to intrude. So the sorts of things that shamans deal with are on the spirit realm, but we certainly don't want anything else intruding, or into our energy system, into our soul. So about as far out as your arm can reach, generally speaking, if you're relaxed and at ease, that's about as far out as your energy body goes, your luminous self, your soul, your energy system. Those things, you get to say who comes and goes from there. And that's not something that we are very practiced in industrial societies. You may be practiced in it if you're listening from someplace else. But if you're listening from an industrial society, probably you're not particularly practiced in even thinking that. And you get to say what your relationship with spirit is, and you get to say who you are, what's okay and what is not okay with you. So we attempt to teach this to children these days in terms of consent, but I'm talking about something much deeper. So if you think about your relationship to the source of all things, and most cultures see this as a cord that goes out of your energy system through the top of your head and goes straight to the source of all things. It doesn't go anyplace else. If you just sort of imagine yours, and it takes a sort of a right-hand turn and goes through a guru, or it goes through a system of belief, or it goes through an institution, and then, you know, goes back to source, then all of your input from source is going through that person or that institution or that system of belief and being filtered. And so what you're receiving is not straight from spirit. You have a right to reclaim that source cord, what we call source cord, that access to spirit. It is yours and yours alone. And no one, no institution, and no system of belief, actually, unless you give it permission, has the right to interfere with that or to interrupt it. So as a human being, the way that we are made, we have immediate and uninterrupted access to the source of all light and all life, and down through our feet and through our perineum, straight down to the heart of the earth. As human beings, we have that access. We get to say how we relate to the earth and to source. So that's self-referencing. It doesn't mean that we exist in a vacuum, of course, but it does mean that we get the say over how we relate with spirit, with ourselves, with the earth. So standing in that place suddenly makes all of these other tools much more useful. I would invite you to deeply consider what is your touchstone as a self-referencing human being, so that you don't just, you know, get thrown around by every wind that blows. I early on discovered that bringing compassion into the world, that was a touchstone for me. If there was not compassion flowing in through whatever I was seeing or exploring or interested in, I was not interested. I got uninterested very rapidly because, for me, that's the essence of being human. You have to discover for you what is the essence of being human, and you will get it reflected back to you from the universe, and it will resonate with you. And there will something will chime deep in your soul, and you'll be going, "That's it! Oh yes, I recognize that. That's me." So I would challenge you to look for that, because when you have that, then suddenly you have a tool with which you, like a measuring stick against which you can measure anything that comes your way, and know kind of if it's for you or if it is not. Whereas if you don't have a sense of yourself like that, then you may find that you just don't know. I mean, things will come your way and you have no idea if that has my name on it or not. Am I supposed to be absorbing this or taking part in it or, you know, finding it useful? Or should I just be, you know, sending it on its way? I don't know. But if you have a grasp on your own essence, because you are sovereign in yourself, because you are self-referencing, then you can look at anything that comes your way and you can know if it has your name on it or not. So, once again, I would challenge you to try a week of gratitude, a week of just seeing what is there and allowing it with an innocent mind, a week of blessing, of speaking over things, situations, and people in a way of describing them as expanded in their vitality and full of light and with more access to magic and spirit, and a week of looking at your own will and intention and deciphering what it is in each situation. What outcome is it that you actually want? What outcome for your life do you want? What outcome for this relationship do you want? What outcome in your work do you actually want? You want, not them, but you. And to spend a week doing all that and looking at your own self-referencing and beginning to distinguish what it is that is essential to you and what is it that you have accepted because society said you should or your parents expected that of you or whatever it is. Doesn't mean you have to kick over the traces and not do any of those things. It's just useful to know what is you and what have you accepted from outside that shapes who you get to be, but you accepted it, you know, so keeping in mind that you get to accept or not any of those things, and that there are consequences, you know, it's an exchange between you and the universe, so to think about all those things. And then the final one of our tools in the shaman's toolbox, in the human being's toolbox for altering reality, if you want to alter reality more rapidly, more profoundly, then a community of like-minded souls is often helpful. What happens is if you, once again, study medicine people in the Native American traditions, what you find is that if a serious healing needed to take place, someone was really, really ill, on the verge of death, and we want to reverse that so that they don't die, then what is needed is not just a single medicine person repeatedly, you know, preparing for ceremony and repeating the ceremony, but what we need is a whole community of people who actually allow that this could happen. So not people who go in doubting, going, well, this will never work, you know, it's just hocus pocus, blah, blah, blah. But a group of people who actually are saying, yes, this is our intention, and we know that intention coupled with spirit can alter reality. We know that it is possible, entirely possible, for us together to alter reality in such a way that this person gets well, rather than does what it looks like might very well happen, which is for them to go downhill and die. So what you need then is a group of people who will believe with you, who will intend with you, who will keep at it with you. Now, this is not something that we really do very often, and if you are a person who is inclined towards spirit and towards this kind of work, you may find yourself really quite alone. So it is useful to find groups who are like-minded and to just participate so that you just have some time with people who allow the same sorts of things. So I'm not saying that you need to go out and drum up an army. What I'm saying is that if there is a drumming circle near you, it's worth going and just participating. Just start out on the fringes and allow yourself to be a part of something. Even if you look at the people and you think, you know, these are wafty crazies. It's fine. Let them be wafty crazies. Practice witnessing. Watch who they are as you witness meeting after meeting. And just allow. Allow yourself to be part of the community. Allow yourself to see. Begin to bless. Because you've been seeing without opinion, with an innocent mind, you can actually bless. And intending that somehow you find a home amongst a group of people. If those are not your home, then it will become clear and you will have to go someplace else. But once again, this is one of those things that you can manifest and that will prove very, very helpful to you. And it's not something that we do easily. This is not going to be one of those things that you can just sort of snap your fingers or arrive in a group and have them all embrace you and say, you are our long-lost shaman person. You know, it's probably not going to happen. They have to get used to you. You have to get used to them. You have to allow your souls to warm towards one another, to soften towards one another, and to be in the presence of spirit together. And when that has happened, you are, you know, family. You know, once you have been in the presence of spirit a number of times together, you're bonded in a way that is not easily describable in this culture. So there you have it then, community. And together, intending together, what happens then is something that is way bigger than each of you could have done on your own and then added up. So it really is that the sum is much greater than the parts all put together. So the whole of it is much greater. Intending together actually does change things. Even if there are only two of you, it's that in itself is the seeds of a community. If there are three of you, you know, you're off and running, basically. So, once again, because I was raised in the Christian church, I will refer back to Jesus, who said, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, that means coming in, coming to spirit, coming to before God in his words, then I'm right there with you. So if you come together to spirit, spirit will respond. There you have it. So you've suddenly got not only a community of human beings, but a community of human beings and spirit. And that is a really powerful combination, especially fueled by a shared human intention. Because it's the humans who are going to provide the intention. We're the ones with a sense of urgency. We're the ones with mortal bodies. We're the ones in space and time, in peril of our lives, you know, because we're the ones with bodies that can die. It is a challenge and a huge gift to have a body. Not everyone in the universe does. Lots of people out there who don't have bodies, and they're there, a lot of them, to help us, and they will join in, particularly because each of us comes in with a whole group who are come in to help us. And we, of course, get distracted by life. Life is rigorous. Life is demanding. And after we grow up from being children, we forget that we came in with all of these people, and, you know, imaginary friends who came in to help us. Well, they're guardian angels. They're spirits who came in to be our partners. And you can call on them. You actually can count on them. So call on them. Call them in. And ask them to help. You know, say, show yourself to me. I know that you came with me. I know that I have forgotten you and neglected you. However, I'm calling now. So come to me, show yourself to me, and just see what pops up in your mind, in your heart, in your life. And then there you'll have it. You'll have your community of spirit. You'll have, at some point, your community of human souls as well. And powerful things will happen. All of that takes repetition, practice, and that dreaded word, discipline, which I am not good at. So it's taken me decades to get to a point where I actually have a daily practice, but I would encourage you to take these tools and to use them on a daily basis, time and time and time again, until they are like breathing to you, and your life will be full of magic, full of access to spirit. Truly blessed with these six tools. So one more time through, they are gratitude, witness, that is, seeing what is with an innocent heart and an innocent mind. Blessing, speaking things into a larger, more expanded, more alive state. Will or intention, the outcome that you intend to happen. Self-referencing, sovereignty. You are the person who gets to allow what is and what is not okay with you, who you are, and what you believe. and community, community of spirit and community of human souls, if you are so blessed as to have one. So there we are, the Shaman's Toolkit. I hope that has been of some use to you and will continue to be of use to you over the next 6 weeks as you take a week per tool. And then what we will be doing next time is having a conversation with Tom Cowan, who is a noted shamanic teacher and practitioner and author and a delight to know. We will be talking about poetry, probably, and shamanic practice together. So the role of the bard and the role of poetry and the role of that kind of language in creating and in transforming. So I'm looking forward to that conversation very much. This is a dear brother in spirit to me. And also I would just like to say, in shameless self-promotion, that I do distance work. I do divination work, which is getting information from spirit, and I do healing work at a distance. And if you need that kind of work done, my contact details are on the News for the Soul website, or you can contact me through the message portion of that website. Absolutely, and I'll get back in touch with you. Also, if you just have questions, you know, if you start this and you go, what is this? Then, you know, get in touch with me. I'd be delighted to have that conversation with you by email or even by phone. I'm very happy to discuss this. I think this is like the best stuff on the planet. It is my life's work, so I'm always happy to talk to people about it. So please do get in touch. If you have feedback, you can also do that via the News for the Soul website. And also my own details are there if you wish to just get directly into touch with me. So once again, I do distance work. I do healing work. I do teaching. So if you would like a mini workshop, just a, you know, an hour's worth of training or an hour and a half worth of training, we can set that up on Skype or on telephone and do that. And if you need references for workshops or other places where you could receive training as a shamanic practitioner, I'm very happy to do that to help you sort of source someplace near you that is a possibility for that. So please do get in touch, however it is that you would like to have the conversation and whatever it is that you would like to have the conversation about. If you are looking for a good primer, a good introductory book, Michael Harner's The Way of the Shaman is excellent. It is not very long. It's really interesting reading. He tells stories about his own sort of initiations into shamanism unexpectedly. And he's been a delight, and he's recently passed, and so we're carrying him tenderly in our hearts at this time, particularly those of us who have learned in his system. Also, if you find anything by Sandra Ingerman, that's well worth reading. She does a lot of soul retrieval work and a lot of work with nature and with the transformation of polluted areas and the healing of the planet. If that is a thing that is close to your heart, you're a brother or sister of mine, because it's very close to my heart. And then an additional thing I would suggest is that you just go outside and thank the earth for your life, for letting you live here. So I thank you for joining me. Thank you very much. And I will see you, or at least you will hear me if you listen in next month. Goodbye.